Isaiah 63 and begins at verse 7. Praise and prayer. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their saviour. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them.
The second reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, and it's on page 966 of the Pew Bibles. The Visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But then, when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Briefly about this trip of the Magi and the journey. Really want to concentrate on the journey. What's important in the story is quite strange because Matthew doesn't really elaborate much about the Magi at all, and he really doesn't say where they come from. So what I want to talk about is perhaps what Matthew does say in this chapter. There's a lot of tradition, there's a lot of speculation, and there's a lot of stories, but there's not a great deal of scripture about the Magi and the journey, etc. So I'm going to break this talk into three brief parts. I'm going to talk about the wise men, I'm going to talk about the gifts, and I'm going to talk about the journey itself, and the journey that we're on as well. We don't know whether the wise men came from China, Persia, Babylon, India. We don't know what their names are, although some of you may know their names now. It wasn't told to us by Matthew. Does anybody tell me their names? Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant. Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. That was their names. But we're not told that by Matthew. We do know that their lives were changed, and we do know that the purpose of their journey was to worship the king. And what is really important, I think, is we know that they decided to make the journey. They decided to take the trip. There they would have been, far east somewhere. They saw the star, they probably were astrologers, and they decided to take the trip. They didn't know how far, they didn't know how long, and they didn't know how dangerous it was going to be, but they took the decision to go and find the king and to worship him. Second thing I want to talk about is the gifts that they brought. Now, we do know the gifts because Matthew tells us quite clearly. There were three gifts, and they were... Yeah. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we saw the three wise men, or the Magi, give those gifts to Jesus. Jesus could have been one, he could have been two. We don't really know how old he was at that time. But the gifts are significant and the gifts are important. Gold. The wise men gave gold. What does gold recognize in Jesus? What was the point of giving gold? The wise men recognized the royalty and kingship of Jesus. That's what gold signifies. They recognized his right to rule and they recognized his status as king. They gave frankincense, as you said. What does frankincense recognize in Jesus? Frankincense, it used to be mixed with oil in Israel, and then it was used to anoint priests. Frankincense was mixed with oil and used to anoint priests. So it recognizes Jesus' priestly rule, Jesus' deity, Jesus as our great high priest. And then thirdly, they gave the myrrh. Now myrrh was used as an embalming oil. We use embalming oil on dead bodies. So the myrrh was used in recognition that Jesus would suffer and that Jesus would die. The Old Testament foretold of the suffering of the Messiah. And myrrh was a recognition by the wise men that Jesus had come to die. Thirdly, I want to briefly mention the journey. I want to talk about three journeys. There's a lot of threes in this talk. Three wise men, three parts, three journeys. And this bit, I want to talk about three journeys. The journey of the Magi. Where do they come from? They come from the east. We don't know whereabouts in the east, but we know they came from the east. Where were they going to? They were going to Jerusalem and then on to Bethlehem. What was the purpose of their journey? The purpose of their journey was to find and worship Jesus. Now, the journey that they took would be fairly easy to track, I guess. Some sort of guidance, sat nav, something. There would have been some sort of way we could have tracked the journey of the three of the wise men. That's the first journey I want to mention. The second journey, that the wise men, the Magi, remember, they had the choice to make that journey. They stood there, they thought about it, and they said, yeah, I'm going to follow that star. Now, we have a journey. We have life's journey. We are all here, all of us. None of us are not on life's journey. We're all on life's journey. You haven't got a choice. You're on life's journey. You didn't ask to be on life's journey, but you're on it. Now, life's journey starts at childhood. It moves on to adulthood, and it ends at senior adulthood. The purpose of the journey when we're children is to learn, be educated, to grow. The purpose of our journey when we're adults is probably to have a reasonable job, have a reasonable house, and look after our family. And the purpose of that journey when we're at senior adulthood is probably to have a nice pension, to look after our family, and spend some time in retirement. That's our life journey. Fairly easy to track again. There's another journey which we have the choice to be on. And that journey is our spiritual journey, our faith journey, or our Christian life journey. Now, we have a choice on that journey. Where does it start? It starts from the moment that we say yes to Jesus. It starts from the moment we recognise who Jesus is. And then we get off on that journey. Where does it end? Well, it's not going to end for a long time yet. It ends when we see Jesus, when we're with Jesus. It's ongoing, basically, throughout our life. Our spiritual journey is ongoing. The purpose of that journey is that we can be conformed to be like Jesus. That's the purpose of our spiritual journey. Do we have a choice? Yeah, we do have a choice to make that journey or not. Three things about our spiritual journey. One, sometimes if we have decided to take the spiritual journey, that spiritual journey can be a little bit like riding a camel across the desert. It can get a little bit uncomfortable, and sometimes we want to get off. Sometimes our spiritual journey can be a little bit like this particular day. This particular day is the 29th of December. The 29th of December falls exactly, pretty much, between Christmas and New Year. It's this time of Epiphany, as Yolanda was saying. It's a bit like, if you're not at work at the moment, it's a bit like no man's land. It's a bit like, actually, I wasn't too sure what day of the week it was yesterday. It was Saturday. Wednesday, I knew it was Christmas Day, but I didn't actually know it was Wednesday. Thursday, I knew it was Boxing Day, but I didn't actually know it was Thursday. This time of year can quite often be a little bit like that. You're in a bit of no man's land. It's nice. It's comfortable. You don't actually quite know where you are. Sometimes our spiritual life can be like that. We're just a little bit stuck. We know, yeah, we're Christians, but we're not actually, we're in a little bit of no man's land. Sometimes our spiritual life can be like that. But, thirdly, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, same way as the wise men fix their eyes on the star, if we trust and believe in him, he won't let us down. He'll be with us right the way through our journey, right the way to the end. So, as we come to 2020, as we're going to start a new year and a new decade, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to take the next step of your faith journey. Doesn't matter if you're at the start or the middle, you might be nearing the end of your faith journey. Let me encourage you in 2020 to take the next step of your faith journey, whether it's the first step or the third or the 23rd or the 33rd. Let me encourage you to look at the star, look at Jesus, and take that journey. I just want to read a passage which I came across as I was preparing for the talk. It's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. So I just want to close with looking at that passage and maybe just leaving it with you. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.